What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We will chat with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, in 1 hour. Normally joins us on Tuesdays, as I'm sure many of you have been affected. He has also been affected by the weather, so we'll chat with him in 1 hour. We'll also hear from Elliot Friedman at 1 o'clock, the latest in the NHL and with the Nashville Predators. I want to touch on some things we heard from Ryan McDonough in our sit down with him yesterday. At home again, since there is yet another winter weather advisory here in Nashville. I believe the snow is supposed to start in the next hour or so, just here in the next few minutes, at least over by me. So be careful, stay warm. Willie D. D. Mace, happy Thursday. How we doing?
Hey, happy Thursday. Everything's going well, except this snow, it needs to melt. Can we get, Willie, can you send some of that weather east so we can melt all this snow?
It's on its way. It's on its way, Derek. I was right in an area that I know you love, LA Live, last night. So very happy Laker fans.
Absolutely.
Piling out of crypto.com arena. I still get used to saying that here. It was Staples Center for so long.
It was the LA arena
last night. And it was funny. The Lakers were finishing up their game. They had an early start. I don't really know why. They started at 5 or 5:30 local time here. Maybe for TV purposes or something. They dismantled the Mavericks. So their crowd spills out. I go back to my room after I grab something to eat, and Bronny James is playing for USC at Arizona.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just picturing the announcers, Jay Billis, and I forgot who was doing the game with him, but I'm thinking they have to be knowing that LeBron is running into the clubhouse right now or the locker room and flipping on the game to watch Bronny. You just know that any dad would be doing that right now, because they kept referring to LeBron about every 10 minutes. I had not seen Bronny James play that much. USC is really struggling. They've had some injuries, and supposedly LeBron has put out there that he thinks Bronny's ready for the NBA right now. I certainly didn't see that.
It's a proud dad right there.
Exactly.
maybe he's been clouded to vision a little bit as a dad. I get it.
I understand it. I know that that has been LeBron James' dream for a good bit of his career, is sticking it out long enough in the NBA so he gets the opportunity to play with his son. So he might just be expediting the process. Like, look, I'm sore. I'm much more sore than I used to be. I stay sore for a lot longer. So maybe let's just go ahead and get him in the NBA so I can get the opportunity to play with him. But what a cool experience, Willie. And some more action in LA tonight. The Predators are taking on the Kings tonight. Puck drop is at 9 o'clock local time in Nashville, so a little bit of a late one, but we'll have all of your pregame coverage tonight on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. We'll touch on that with Elliot Friedman. We'll have a full Preds and Kings preview in the 1 o'clock hour. But I did want to start on this. We've been talking about this over the last few days of how attractive is this Titans coaching vacancy. And we talked about a few factors that could be considered there. Roster, quarterback, ownership. I'd mentioned market in there, and that might be more applicable to maybe the Dallas Cowboys, that if that was a vacancy, which as we have learned, it is not, and we will get into that, that the Dallas Cowboys are holding on to Mike McCarthy. But the three biggest criteria that we've been looking at is roster, quarterback, and ownership, and kind of ranking the Titans based off of the rest of the vacancies in the NFL. Of course, the Chargers, the Panthers, the Falcons, the Seahawks, so on and so forth. Mike Sando of The Athletic did his own ranking. Now, this is Mike Sando's ranking himself. It wasn't polling GMs or coaches. This was Mike Sando just taking the factors at hand and just giving it his own ranking. Mike Sando writes, the 8 current openings, which is not 8, it's 7 because the Patriots filled that vacancy. But he said that he ranked it, but that's in this list. He said, I've ranked these vacancies below using 3 basic criteria. Likelihood of winning in the first 2 seasons, whether winning the division is realistic, and to what degree ownership flaws might be fatal. So, of course, I'm looking at this, looking for the Titans. First job is the Chargers. I don't think any of us really have many gripes with that. I don't disagree with that, at least. Two, Atlanta Falcons, which I was a little bit surprised to see. Three, Seattle Seahawks. I'm like, okay, still scrolling. Four, Patriots. Of course, we know that the Patriots job is no longer a vacancy, as Gerard Mayo is filling that vacancy. Five, the Raiders. Six, Washington. And then finally, in seven of eight, the Carolina Panthers is the last ranked job in this list. Seventh of eight is the Tennessee Titans. Mike Sando writes, when the Titans fired GM John Robinson late in the 2022 season, it looked like a potential power play by then coach Mike Vrabel. In retrospect, that wasn't the case. Vrabel suffered a similar fate a year later. Owner Amy Adams Strunk was the common denominator. The next coach needs to investigate what went wrong in Tennessee, where Vrabel was cruising along as a top coach, then suddenly couldn't win. Now, there's another part here that I want to get to, but first I want to touch on that. Maybe the ownership angle is now Amy Adams Strunk, based off of the firing of John Robinson, which I think we can all agree came very abruptly. Mm-hmm. John Robinson never had a losing season. The Titans were 7-5 at that point, had a commanding lead of the division. Then he gets fired in the middle of the season. Fast forward just over a year later, Mike Vrabel gets fired. And that has been viewed widely across the league, whether you agree with it or not, has been viewed as a rash decision, as a crazy decision, because so many people view Mike Vrabel as such a good coach. That maybe sound like there is a perception around the league of Amy Adams Strunk being a meddling owner or an owner that makes pretty rash decisions.
I can see where that would be one's assumption, considering what happened to John Robinson at a point. It's not that they fired him or she fired him. It was the circumstances around it, where the team was at that particular moment. They were leading the AFC South. It seemed like they were on their way to winning the AFC South once again. And all of a sudden, it went from, signing, John Robinson, or extending John Robinson's contract 6 months earlier, to now, overnight firing him. And I understand it wasn't, she just woke up and said, I'm going to fire him. I'm sure there were things that she saw leading up to that. But on the outside looking in, it seemed like everything was going well. And then all of a sudden they play the Philadelphia Eagles. They get ransacked. AJ Brown has a great game. And then all of a sudden John becomes scapegoat and he gets fired. So I can see why one would assume she's a meddling or an owner that's indecisive. But beyond that, that was the first time that she actually, went in and did something on her own. Obviously firing, Wizenhunt and everything else, that probably was a collaborative effort amongst all of those that are in power. But it seemed like this John Robinson deal was hers and hers alone, just like it seems like the Mike Vrabel deal was hers and hers alone. I don't think she's a meddling owner. I think she's an owner sort of like her dad, in the sense of, listen, when I don't see it going right and I don't think it's going to get better, I need to cut bait right now. I don't need to wait. And it seems like that's what she did with John Robinson. And it seems like that's what she did with Mike Vrabel. But the John Robinson situation, I think, like I said, it came at a time that it seemed like everything was going well. And then all of a sudden she ends up firing him. But I don't think she's this meddling owner. Now, we've seen meddling owners. We've seen owners that get into the business of the team a lot. I don't think she's that. But she is, based on what she did with John Robinson, she is an owner that once she makes her mind up, she's going with it.
I think that's a big part of it, is I think the perception of her is a little bit of a wild card, especially when you consider the reputation and the credibility that both Robinson and Vrabel had nationally.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important perspective for the Titans to absorb when they read these things, because I don't think Sando's opinion is an outlier, right? I think that's kind of the general sense of what the national media sees from the outside. So that's important to know. The other thing, though, that I think is becoming a theme, which surprises me a little bit, is that there seems to be very little faith that Will Levis potentially could be a good quarterback. I'm not seeing that. I watched the game in Miami. I watched the game in Pittsburgh. I watched the game against Atlanta. Mm-hmm. He's put together some good games. He had some struggles, but I saw those as games where the entire team really struggled. So I'm very curious about where guys like Michael Lombardi, now Mike Sando, and some others are kind of like, eh, Will Levis, I don't know. There seems to be that out there. I'm not getting that.
Quickly to D. Mace's point, you know, there's always a difference between our perception, being close to the team, seeing it up close and personal, going to the press conferences, listening to the press conferences, watching the game, so on and so forth. Because we know it isn't really what everyone else in the national media does do with the Tennessee Titans. So the Tennessee or the Titan fan perspective often is different from maybe the national perspective, where D-Mace, you could look at it and say, look, you know, John Robinson made a bad A.J. Brown trade, and then Mike Vrabel wasn't winning games, and there was a bad relationship with he and Rand Carthon that it may have been time to move on, and Amy Adams Trunk didn't want to waste any time. And I don't think that you're wrong in that. Mm-hmm. But I think the national perception, or just the perception in general of Amy Adams Trunk, the outside perception of Amy Adams Trunk, is the damaging thing here. Because you or I might not view it of like Amy Adams Trunk making Jerry Jones type of decisions, mm-hmm. but maybe Bobby Slowick feels that way. Maybe you know, any of these other coaches that are interviewing for the Titans vacancy feels that way. And if they feel that way, that's really the most important thing. And that's the most damaging thing to the perception of this job and to the perception of the Titans. Now, Amy Adams Trunk might be an absolute nightmare to work with. I don't know, nor do I really believe that she's an absolute nightmare to work with. But the two major decisions that she's made in the last year and a half of firing John Robinson and firing Mike Vrabel, I don't think were perceived as very well thought through decisions. And that a coach might look at it and say, I don't know if I want to get into that situation. You know, I don't know if I want to be putting myself in an uncomfortable position where, you know, I make it to the playoffs, AFC championship game, top seed in the AFC, and then I turn around and get fired a couple years later. Well, I agree in the firing, but I understand if that's the perception. Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's easier to explain the John Robinson fire. It's easier to do that because you can go down. Yeah, because I think you can go down the list, and we've went down a list of things John hit with and John's missed with. And we felt that that's what led to the firing. If you look at his misses, they were colossal misses because those misses are still rearing his head up today, you know, meaning the season this past season, 23 season. So it's reared its ugly head. So it's easier to explain, okay, this is why she fired John Robinson. Maybe it wasn't the right time or the most opportune time to do it. But she had, like young kids say, she had receipts for the reasons why she could fire John Robinson. I think Mike Vrabel is a different story. I think it's harder for her, just based on the surface things. It's harder to try to explain that to the outside viewers, not those that are not here in Nashville each and every day. More of the national view. It's harder to explain why would you fire Mike Vrabel as opposed to why would you fire John Robinson, because people are going to look at Vrabel and they're going to say, well, he was coach of the year. Look what he was able to do with this team. They're going to go down a list of things that he has done that would have warranted him another year of trying to get this roster straight. Easier to explain away John Robinson. I think it's a little bit harder to explain why would you fire a head coach that you know, around the coaching circles, you know, nationally, he's revered. He's like the next coming. So why would you fire him? I think it's a little bit harder to explain. Not to say she didn't get this right, but explaining it might take a little bit more than it would have with John Robinson.
I think the other thing that jumps out of me, and I agree with what you're saying, D. Mace, I think also we have to realize that even though when you're in Nashville and you see a lot of close games and you say, well, they're right there. If they just won some close games, they could have maybe scratched out the division. I think you have to look at the perception of what others see the roster as. That's part of his criteria, right? That's a big part of why they have the Titans job rated low. He doesn't think the roster is very good. And I agree, especially now when you move on, you're moving on into a new era where presumably you're not going to have Tannehill or Derrick Henry, who have been staples for a long time. And you couple that with, as he kind of puts Rand Carthon in the category of sort of an unknown GM. And then circling back, you're still a few years away from the new stadium. You have a family-owned, old-school type of ownership system, and they tend to not have the deep pockets that some owners have now. So if I'm a coach coming in and I'm looking at all that, I am asking myself, can I make it to the new stadium? Are we going to have the resources to be able to build a roster to where I can win and have a good team going into the new stadium? Or am I just the guy that's going to bridge the gap in these last couple of years? I think that's the challenge, I think, for the entire franchise these next few years. Can they get to the new stadium? And can they rebuild the roster with the proper resources? They have the cap space to do it, but now it's time to use those resources really smartly. And you've got to scout well and you've got to draft well.
Yeah, that's kind of the secondary part of Mike Sando's description. First and foremost, it's the owner, maybe how Amy Adams Strunk is perceived. The second part is the roster. It says the Titans roster needs a reset. The franchise needs a quarterback. The rest of Let's stop there. The franchise needs a quarterback. Willie, that's what you just brought up. And I have heard more in the last probably week or two about really big questions around Will Levis. Now, I think another thing that we can't forget is Will Levis did fall to the second round. Now, there were 32 teams, 31, 31 teams in the NFL that passed on Will Levis. So I think that's important to remember that at least initially, going through the draft process, maybe there were some questions about Will Levis. And then there was things brought up about, the personality and, maybe he's, too macho, whatever it might be, whatever reason that he fell. He did in fact fall. So of course, general managers across the league started with questions with Will Levis and might still have questions about Will Levis. I still have questions about Will Levis. I don't feel 100% certain that Will Levis is going to be your franchise quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years. I sure hope so. And I think that we've seen flashes of Will Levis looking like he can be the dude, but we've also seen some not so great things from Will Levis. You can attribute that to a horrendous offensive line. You can attribute that to not having a ton of pass catching weapons. You can attribute that to learning what a third offense in 3 years with three different offensive coordinators in 3 years going back to his first year at Kentucky. So you can attribute a lot of things to that. You can also attribute it to maybe Will Levis just isn't the dude. Maybe he's not a franchise quarterback. But there have been more questions about the belief in Will Levis, whether it was Michael Lombardi. I heard it from Charles Robinson, from some things that he was hearing from coaches and GMs across the league when Charles Robinson was on with Robbie and Rex Road this morning. And we'll get into somewhat of what Charles Robinson had to say coming up next. And then again, in this athletic piece, we've heard some of it from Tim Hasselbeck as well, who will join us in less than an hour. A lot of people that aren't necessarily have a lot of belief in what Will Levis can be.
I mean, listen, this young man, give him like let this season because I don't understand it either. I don't understand, why people think like, okay, when you're talking about the Tennessee Titans, that the quarterback is the top concern. I understand that the quarterback is top priority around the league. I get that, but the top concern for the Titans is their quarterback? I don't think so. I think the top concern around the Titans is protecting their quarterback, getting more playmakers for their quarterback. It's not necessarily their quarterback. The kid came in, wasn't supposed to play this year. They didn't have him in the plans in regards to play this year. Had Ryan Tannehill stayed healthy and not just fallen off a cliff, Mike Vrabel would have rolled with Ryan Tannehill the whole season, which would have allowed Will Levis to sit back and learn how to play and how to be a quarterback in this league. But that wasn't the case because of the offensive line. Their starting quarterback gets hurt. Then his young quarterback comes in. And what does he do? He comes in and he throws four touchdowns. Everybody understood that that was just an anomaly. That was one of those things that happened very few times with the rookie quarterback. And we knew eventually he would come down to earth. He came down to earth. Even while playing well in Pittsburgh, he came back down to earth. But he was able to handle what Pittsburgh was throwing at him. As the season went on, because of the offensive line, I think his production started to slip. He started to play a little bit hero ball. He started to develop some bad habits that he needs to get out of. Let this young man have an off season to sort of address some of those things, get his body to where it needs to be. He don't need to be bulky. If that's what people are pointing at, one of the issues with him, he doesn't need to be bulky. He just needs to go out there and make sure that he can throw the ball 80 yards like he can now. But you got to give this young man another try. Surround him with individuals that can play. If he was a first rounder, here's the deal. If he was a first rounder and didn't put mayo in his coffee and didn't take the selfies, then we would be talking about Will Levis in a different light. But because of all these things and these preconceived notions of Will Levis, they already have a bias against him. I don't know if he's going to be great. I don't know if he's going to flop. But he did give me enough this season that I saw that I'm thinking, okay, this kid could be the dude. Let's just surround him. Remember, they thought Lamar Jackson wasn't going to be the guy over the last couple of seasons. They surrounded him with more playmakers, and look what he's doing. They didn't think Josh Allen was the guy. You give him Stephon Diggs, look at what he's doing. They didn't think Trevor Lawrence was the guy. You change the head coach, look what he was able to do. So give this young man another year before they sort of write him off or say, this is the big issue with the Tennessee Titans. It's not an issue. The quarterback is not the issue, I don't believe. I think the people around him and who you surround him with is the issue at this point.
Mm-hmm. Could not agree more. I would throw Jared Goff into that conversation.
Exactly, Jared Goff.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of directions that could go, but right now the more pressing issue is the rest of the roster. You've got a quarterback that you have to give a shot to.
Mm-hmm. Look at Jordan Love. I counted Jordan Love out.
Exactly.
I thought, the Packers are probably going to be in the quarterback market. Look what he did against Dallas. Absolutely not. So, teammates, I'm 100% with you. And I'm saying, yeah, Will Levis is the quarterback next season. I don't know if he is that guy. I still have questions about Will Levis. I think it's fair to still have questions about Will Levis. But what I think doesn't matter. What we think might not matter. What matters is it sounds like there's a resounding sentiment, at least outside of Nashville, that there are a lot of people that aren't maybe willing to give Will Levis the benefit of the doubt or another opportunity. To the point,
Caroline, where they're saying you need to be looking for another quarterback. I think that's so far from being fair to Levis and saying that he's done enough that you got a lot of things on the agenda here. You've got to find a coach. You got to find players. You don't have a cornerback at all. You have a gaping holes in the offensive line. Those are pressing needs. You've got a quarterback that has a chance, but they're putting in some of these little tidbits. You have to be looking for the next quarterback. What? Did they not watch the Miami game? Did they not watch the Falcons game? I mean, he could still turn into Mitch Trubisky. I get it. He could still be Jake Locker. I get that. But we don't know yet. He's got a chance to be pretty good.
I'm with you. That I'm not out on Levis. I'm not 100% all in. I'm not, the queen of Levis Town. But I think that you've got.
Does everybody wear jeans in Levis Town?
Only Levi's. Levi's and bananas. They're the only things that are sold in Levis Town.
And mayo.
I'm with you. But clearly that's not the sentiment that maybe some other people might be feeling. But I do want to continue this conversation coming up next. Because you might be hearing this and saying, well, that's Mike Sando's opinion. That's one guy's opinion. Why does he matter? I get it. I hear you. But Charles Robinson was on with Robbie and Rexro this morning, and sounds like there are some GMs and coaches around the league that share Mike Sando's sentiments. We'll get into that coming up next. We'll get into your phones. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Welcome.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. You're going to need those homes to feel comfortable. Another cold front coming through, some more snow coming through. I believe it should start, if it hasn't already started in your area, it's going to start here shortly. So be careful, try and stay off the roads because I know that there's more snow and ice coming. So Mike Sando put out a piece in The Athletic ranking all of the vacancies in the NFL. Now, he does add the New England Patriots into this list, but as we know, the New England Patriots vacancy has been filled by Gerard Mayo. But they are in this list, so of the 8 vacancies that Mike Sando has ranked and the criteria that he has used to rank the open jobs is... let me find it. Sorry, excuse me. Likelihood of winning in the first 2 seasons, whether winning the division is realistic, and to what degree ownership flaws might be fatal. Based off of that criteria, he ranks the Titans as the second to worst coaching vacancy in the NFL, better only than the Carolina Panthers. He talks about Amy Adams Strunk, you know, maybe making some pretty rash decisions to fire John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. He mentions how the Texans and with CJ Stroud, they look like they could be the class of the division if Trevor Lawrence and the Jags continue on an upward trajectory. And also brings Rand Carthon into question that he is an unproven GM. So at least Mike Sando, it doesn't sound like he views the Titans job as a very good one compared to the rest of the vacancies in the NFL. But you might be saying, oh, who cares what he thinks? Well, I think I would more so care about what coaches and general managers in the NFL think. Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports, that has a lot of connections to coaches and GMs across the league, he was on with Robbie and Rexroad this morning. He mentioned how at Yahoo Sports, they are doing a poll of GMs and coaches to have them rank the Titans job. So where does the Titans job end up on that survey? This was Charles Robinson this morning.
I'll tell you what we did. We have a piece coming out later today where Joy Epstein and I, we reached out to 6, like a mix of coaches and executives, and we asked them to rank the 7 openings. We said, look, we're going to do it on point system, 1 to 7, you know, add it up and, you know, give us sort of your reasonings why. And the Titans finished 6th. And let's see, 1 5th place vote, 4 6th place votes. And someone voted them 7th, like worse than Carolina. And I was stunned when we talked to people just how damaging the Vrabel firing was to the just sort of the questions of what's going on inside the organization. Like it was like, okay, well if they're going to fire Mike, who's really well respected across the league, both in executive circles and head coaching circles, people are like, well, then why, like, what do they want? Like if he's not good enough as a coach or as a leader or whatever, and he and Amy may have been on the different pages there. It just raised a huge red flag for, other people that, you know, could potentially be on these lists. And the people we talked to, we tried to make it, okay, it's some of them are going to be people, a couple of them are going to be people that are on prominently on lists now to be interviewed. Others are already in like sort of like in head coaching or general manager spots. And then I even reached out to like a former general manager who had been through sort of the whole cycle before coming up, getting hired, being in a position and then getting fired and then getting himself back into the league. So we really got a diversity of thought in terms of the experience. And it was remarkable to me, just some of the negativity that surrounds looking at that Tennessee job. And, you know, you have some guys that are like, I don't know if the quarterback position's resolved. Like I personally, you have to be a sort of a Levis fan when you go in there. So that impacts, you know, who's coming in, particularly given that at least the thought process of the candidates is that, you know, Levis was a Rand and Amy influenced draft choice. So if you come in and you're like, I don't know, Levis, you know, this is ultimately going to be the quarterback. Do you create friction for yourself when you come into the job? And then obviously the offensive line being in disrepair, there is some talent on the roster, and the biggest highlight I thought that might even tell you maybe how some candidates look at the Titans is just the immense amount of cap space over the next two off seasons and the ability to pivot, you know, pretty quickly. Like, and I almost wonder if it's being looked at as like a 49ers job when Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch went in there, and by the end of two seasons, the vast amount of roster turnover that occurred under those two. I think the youth on the Titans is a little bit different. I think there are more guys worthy of keeping around, so it wouldn't be that 90% roster flip in 2 years, but it's looking to me, when you talk to people, like they feel like it's a much harder reboot than I initially thought.
And again, that was Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, Almuth Rabi, and Rex Road. So he says why the job might not be attractive, first and foremost, what he's been hearing from GMs and coaches is they look at Mike Vrabel getting fired and think, well, if he gets fired, if someone who is widely regarded and widely respected around the league gets fired, then how safe would my job be? Second thing is, are you sold on Will Levis? Third thing, offensive line needs to be, you know, basically entirely revamped. The roster needs a lot of help. And it's just going to be a tough reboot, to use Charles Robinson's words. What do we make of what Charles Robinson had to say on that?
Isn't that, I mean, aren't you describing at least 50% or 70% of the teams that ends up having a new coach at the end of the year? So let's just say you take, on average, there's at least 4 to 5 new head coaching jobs available just about every year. Every team, let's say 3 out of those 5 teams fits the category of the Tennessee Titans, but people still take those jobs. Why? Because there are only 31, 32 of these jobs. And listen, if you don't get it, they're going to hire somebody else, and you may not ever get an opportunity to be in that seat again, especially if your irons are hot. Then yes, everybody wants the ideal job. There's only one ideal job, maybe two out there right now, and that is the Chargers and probably, let's say, Atlanta or Seattle. You can kind of flip-flop, because Seattle believes they have their quarterback sort of the near future in Geno Smith.
And I can poke some holes in Atlanta.
Exactly, and you can poke holes in Atlanta, but Atlanta also has playmakers. They have an owner that is well-respected, you know, in this league. So they're willing to go out and do the things necessary to build a winning team. So what, you know, what he's saying is true, but that can also be applied or applicable to, you know, other teams out there that are going to ask for new, you know, that are going to be in the market for a new head coach next year. To me, this is a great opportunity for a young GM and a first year head coach to come in, and let's use the word that the Titans have been using the last year, collaborate and build a roster. Because Robinson, you know, he was right in the sense of this. This could be a San Francisco 2.0 type situation, where San Francisco's roster, when Shanahan and them took over, it took some years to build up. They finally built it the way they wanted to, and look at them. We all look at San Francisco as one of the model franchises out there because of what they were able to do over the last course of the 3 or 4 seasons since Shanahan has been there. The Tennessee Titans can be that organization. You have a lot of cap room, which he said. You have some young players that can play on this roster. I think you do have your quarterback, but you still need to find out. And the only way you can find out is if you surround him with talent. So this roster, this team, might be the ideal situation for a new head coach, because we all get to come in with a clean slate and we all get to build this thing together. Either it's going to fail and we're all gone, or it's going to work and people are going to be praising this organization and saying, oh my goodness, we knew they could do it. Look at what they did. Look at what Rand Carthon, his new coach, has done. Amy's great. They built this roster back up. That's what they're going to be. Exactly. So to me, this is a prime opportunity for what will be a second year GM and a new coach to come in here and stabilize this franchise and build it back up from the ground.
I thought that Robinson's take there was pretty similar to Mike Sando's in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Shows you again the reputation that Mike Vrabel has around the league, and or his ability to have the media eating out of the palm of his hand. Now, for sure. As you pointed out many times, we all have a lot of respect for Mike Vrabel as a coach, but at the same time, his reputation, I think nationally, it's fair to say, is better than his record and his results. You've pointed that out more than once, Derek, over the years, right? He is an excellent coach, and he's never had the elite quarterback that makes it easier for a coach to win a championship. But that being said, you can't ignore how they collapsed the last couple of years. So nobody seems to say that when Sando and Robinson, how could you fire Mike Vrabel? Did they not see what the record the last 24 games, what is it, 6-18?
Yeah.
Look, we see that here. The other part that I thought was interesting about Robinson specifically is you see that they have the cap space. That's enticing for a coach. But the coach also has to be going in with a buy-in of Will Levis, right? If you don't believe in Will Levis, then you can't take this job, right? So either you have to pretend that you like Will Levis, talk yourself into believing Will Levis, or deeply believe that when you watch the film of Will Levis that you got something there. Otherwise, you know, you're going down the wrong path to start with.
Yeah, and I don't know if any of those coaches are walking into an interview with the Titans saying, man, that Will Levis, he stinks. Let's trade up in this draft and get a quarterback. Yeah, that guy stinks. It's like, okay, like, don't let the door hit you on the way out. But, Divas, your point about there's 32 of these jobs, and I'm with you, that there is – if there is a coach out there that whose only opportunity is to coach for a team or a franchise that we deem not to be that great of a job, you're not going to pass it up. But looking at the coaches, coordinators that the Titans are interviewing for the head coaching vacancy, they've all got opportunities and interviews elsewhere. If you look at Brian Callahan, he's interviewing all over the NFL. Bobby Slowick, Ben Johnson, Dan Quinn is even interviewing for several different openings. So this is not just – it is not these coaches' only opportunity. That's the tough thing, the tough position that the Titans are in now. That it's an incredibly saturated head coaching vacancy market in the NFL right now. And let's say, I'm just going to take, for example, Bobby Slowick, who feels like kind of like the golden child on the coaching market right now. The guy that everyone is after, the guy that everyone has seen what has been going on with CJ Stroud and the Texans, and they want to be part of it. You kind of can maybe pick and choose. So if you are if you are sixth of seven on that list, you're not going to land maybe your coach of choice. But I do want to continue this coming up next. We've got loads of phones, so we are right to your thoughts coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get in on the conversation. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, Tim Hasselbeck will join us in 15 minutes. 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. We'll chat with Tim Hasselbeck in 10 minutes. We'll get his thoughts, how attractive he thinks the Titans coaching job is. Mike Sando put out an article in The Athletic ranking the 8 job openings in the NFL, including the New England Patriots, which of course we know has now been filled. He ranks the Titans 7th of 8th. Charles Robinson was on with Robbie and Rexroad this morning. Of the 7 openings, not including New England, he polled GMs and coaches around the league, and they ranked the Titans 6th of 7, better only than the Carolina Panthers. So unless we have some thoughts on that, we have some thoughts on our text line.
Let's go to the phones.
Let's get to the phones. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought on that. Jeff in Hendersonville, Texan, says Vrabel and Robinson got 6 years. Carolina has had 7 coaches in those 6 years. Has it been 7 coaches in 6 years in Carolina?
Yeah, I guess because they had the intern coaches, and you know, it has been a lot of coaches, and you know, they've had just as many coaches as they had, you know, the last 7 years. So
they had 4 in the last 2 years.
Yeah. So
yeah, I guess that's true. But that's also why Carolina is viewed as a worse job than you are. Because they might have a worse roster than the Titans have, is because they have an incredibly reactive owner in David Tepper. But that is crazy. to kind of put that into perspective of how many coaches have just been through that revolving door of a franchise. Eric Texan says, it's to explain Miss Amy's coach's firing. As a coach, you cannot say that you do not believe in a rebuild or that you'll be glad to coach a team as long as it can win. If I had an employee to make those type of public comments, I would fire him or her before the ink dried. At that point, there is no longer buy-in.
I mean, listen, when those words were uttered, and it's not just those words, I think there were things behind the scenes as well. But when those words were uttered, what did I say? He don't think this team he don't think this team is capable of winning moving forward. He's not going to come out and say, I don't want the coaching job or I'd rather be someone else. No, he's going to give you subtle hints on what he's thinking. And that subtle hint was, yeah, I want to coach this team. Hey, listen, as long as we can win, what do you mean as long as we can win? So you don't want, if we start losing, you don't want to be the coach. So you don't want to be the coach now. Those are things that you got, those are small things you got to look at, I think, as if you're an owner. Words are everything in today's society. And if you don't know how to use those words properly or structure them properly when you're talking about certain things, then it leads one to believe that, hey, listen, you don't want this job really. Because of what you just said, coupled with what you went up to New England and said, it doesn't seem like you really want to be the head coach of the Tennessee Titans anymore.
Well, also, I think all of this that we're talking about, what I would do if I were in those walls over for the Titans is I would try to change that perception. I would try to, if I could, over time. And you may not be able to do anything before you hire your next coach, but I would take note about how they're getting ranked and ask myself, why is that? This is Nashville, Tennessee. This is a great city. It's a growing city. You've got a great fan base. It's just a matter of bringing out the potential. You got a new stadium coming up. Like, there's some things to get excited about this job. And why is everybody writing that we're sixth or seventh? If I maybe have them strung, I'd say let's work on that perception. And you got to look at yourself in the mirror a little bit.
I think that's, I think it's sports talk radio kind of content to have, off season to-do list for teams of what you need in the draft, what you need in free agency. And I think that's absolutely a conversation we'll have. I also want to come up with an Amy Adams Strunk to-do list of maybe a little bit of self-reflection to your point, Willie, of how did we get to this point? How have we gone in the span of 2 years being the number one seed in the AFC to now that general manager that was in place is gone, that coach that was in place is gone, and now there are some, I think, fair questions arising about Amy Adams Strunk and how she runs this team and how she runs her team employees and the general manager and the head coach that kind of look into, maybe look in the mirror a little bit as far as Amy Adams Strunk is concerned, because she's gotten herself into this position. Glenn in Greenbrier, Texan, says, I'm damn tired of hearing the national media narrative about Vrabel. He may be respected, but his job was to win games. He lost 18 out of 24. Any other NFL franchise would have fired him. That's what I don't get, is can you not see on paper what the record was? He was losing games. Now, I don't care how funny he was on Twitter or in podcasts or how great of a player he was with the Patriots. This was a bad team for the last 2 years.
And I don't think people wants to wrap their it's hard for people to sort of wrap their minds around, Vrabel being a bad coach, and well, Vrabel being a good coach, but also seeing the product on the field. You're only as good as your last season, or in this case, you're only as good as your last games. And Vrabel hasn't been good this season, nor was he good last season. If this is a player, regardless of what the player had done in previous years, and we see it across the NFL, we see it across fan bases. If a player has a 2-year run the way that Mike Vrabel had, they're looking to move on. Everybody's screaming and crying. You need to draft somebody at that position, move on. If any other coach has seasons like this, 2 seasons where they missed the playoffs, where they've been horrible, people are screaming for them to lose their job. Hell, people are screaming for Mike McCarthy to lose his job, and he's won 36 games in the last 3 seasons. I get the playoff woes. I get it. People are wondering whether Mike Tomlin should get fired. This guy has done nothing but win at Pittsburgh. So all of a sudden, it's, Mike Vrabel, he's lost. He's had a losing season the past two seasons, but it's not his fault. I don't get that part. If you win together and you get praised as a head coach when you win, it should be the same way when you lose, especially when you have consecutive losing seasons.
I'm with you. I'm with you, D-Mace. I'm interested to get Tim Hasselbeck's perspective on this, how attractive of a job he thinks the Titans opening is, and maybe why do people not view this as a better job. We'll get into that with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.